The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, a program designed to promote a positive work environment. Your hosts are Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. In this hour, you will be motivated to motivate, increase morale, productivity, loyalty, and reduce turnover. Learn how some companies get it while others don't. Now, here are your hosts, Roy and Max.
Welcome to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio. The show is all about building relationships, inspiring greatness, and creating a workplace where people can thrive. I'm Roy Saunderson, along with my friend Max Brown, and we're from the Rideau Recognition Management Institute. Max, how's it going for you?
I'm well. I'm excited for another great show.
Absolutely. And I think we're going to delve in a little deeper on the topic of human resources, a topic that we know has a great emphasis and importance in the area of leadership, recognition, and many other areas.
Well, that well said. And things are changing so quickly in industry today. How does HR remain relevant? And I think this is going to be a huge conversation and opportunity for those who are looking and listening today around this topic,
especially from a global perspective. So let's go ahead and introduce our guest today, Dr. Wayne Brockbank, and he's the co-author of HR from the Outside In, Six Competencies for the Future of Human Resources, and also the recently released Global HR Competencies, Mastering Competitive Value from Outside In. Wayne is the co-author of six books on HR strategy and competencies and a clinical professor of business at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. At the Ross School of Business, Dr. Brockbank is a co-faculty director and core instructor of the Advanced Human Resources Executive Program, literally the world's number one rated HR executive program. Wayne serves on the core faculty of Michigan's Senior Management Executive Programs in India, and he's also been the visiting faculty at universities in Argentina, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Australia, China, Indonesia, Great Britain, the Netherlands, India, and the Czech Republic. My goodness, that certainly is a great global perspective, and he's actually in Germany today with us for the show. Welcome to the show, Wayne.
Glad to be with you. It's an honor to be on the phone with you and to be able to discuss some important issues.
You bet. Now, okay, so how did this book, we're always intrigued on the origin of the various authors and guests' books that they have, and how did global HR competencies come about?
We've been doing research on the competencies and practices that differentiate high-performing HR professionals and their lower-performing counterparts for 25 years now. Mm-hmm. This is the sixth round of this research we've been doing, and we've done this research every 5 years for the last 25 years, I indicated. So this is the sixth round. And the purpose of this is to identify what HR professionals can do to make a business for their individual careers and to impact their businesses and to make a difference in the world.
Well, that's wonderful, and that's quite extensive research. Now, you and I know there are many models of HR competencies out there. What differentiates your work from those?
There's probably four. You're absolutely right. There's dozens and dozens of competency models for HR professionals, other business specialties. Our research is unique in probably four different ways. One is the longest ongoing research in a global perspective of HR professionals. So we can not only track what's happening today, but we can look at the trends over the last 25 years and can say these are the trends that have occurred. Here's the time frame within which they've occurred, and therefore here's probably what's going the future is going to look like. We have a great deal of confidence in that. Mm-hmm. The second characteristic in our research is that we've tried to make sure that we were listening to the HR profession and not overlaying our preconceived notions on what the field believes. As a result, we had this nice mix of both quantitative and qualitative measures, and we didn't let ourselves be pulled off center by simply listening to the loudest voice in the room. So we did. We have applied some reasonably rigorous statistics that enable us not just to identify what are the competencies and practices of HR professionals, but the third thing we've been able to do is to identify which of those practices and competencies impact business performance. So we have a clear line of sight, and not just a clear conceptual line of sight, but a clear statistical line of sight as to which practices are in fact impacting the financial and market performance of the respective organizations that are involved. And finally, because of this combination, we've been very fortunate to be able to have done this on a global scale with some fabulous global partners from around the world. And probably one might argue that in most cases it's the leading HR. Our partners around the world have been representing the largest HR and most visible HR associations or universities in from virtually around the world, China, India. I don't want to offend everyone, but we represent 9 different regions from around the world. And so from every perspective, we think that we've done the most thorough, robust, most global, most business-oriented work in defining which of the practices are going to, within HR are going to have greatest impact on the business and therefore to support the well-being of their employees as well as their customers.
Absolutely, and certainly very comprehensive work there, Wayne. And I'm curious about the subtitle. It's Mastering Competitive Value from the Outside In. How does an HR leader master this competitive value from this perspective of outside in?
I think that's a wonderful question. The starting point of our logic is we're approaching business the way that business people approach it. We're asking the question, which every management team in the world asks itself, which is, how do we build organizations that are capable and competent enough to provide products and services that the marketplace wants to buy? The premise of this research is basic supply demand. That mm-hmm. Nothing we do on the inside matters unless it finally creates value for customers on the outside. Therefore, it's finally the customers and the marketplace to determine the relevance of what you do on the inside of a firm.
Right.
That's the origin of the title, HR from the outside in. The premise is that if we don't make sure that what we do on the inside, including from an HR perspective, that adds value to customers and helps us to compete in the marketplace on the outside, then we've condemned ourselves to second-class citizenry within the companies that we're trying to serve.
Right. And I think most people, and especially many of our listeners, are going to think about HR strictly focusing on internal issues. Now, why does your work place such a strong emphasis on this external focus for HR?
Well, again, the reason is that if HR, for years we've been talking about within the HR community of the importance of being business partners.
Mm-hmm.
The customer of the business is the external customer. So if we desire to be partners in the business, and the customer is the business is the outside, therefore by definition, our customer is also the customer on the outside. And we need, and our job, therefore, is to bring about consistency between what the customer and marketplace requires on the inside and the skills, capabilities, that our leaders and employees have on the inside. It's ultimately the customers on the outside that decide if our people on the inside have the right product, have the right skills, capabilities, mindset, culture, values to make products and services that make customers want to take out their wallets and put money in our company's wallets instead of our competitors' wallets.
So we
feel very strongly about that perspective. And by the way, I'm almost embarrassed to say it. It's so simple and based on such basic business principles that it's almost embarrassing to talk about. But we have the data and research that says that sometimes HR professionals forget that basic premise of what business is all about.
Right. Well, listen, before we take a short break, I'm wondering whether you could introduce our listeners to your most recent competency model, just so they have a bit of a broad overview, and we'll go deeper in the next segments.
Okay, that's a very good question. We start out with several dozens questions that were generated through focus groups literally around the world that were conducted by our regional partners. We had over 20,000 people who were involved in the study. And by the way, I should mention that over the lifetime of the study, now we're approaching 65,000 people that have actually been involved in this study over the last 25 years. But in this last round, we had 20,000 people involved. We took their answers to these several dozen questions and then factor analyze, and we let the computer sort through the data and figure out what are the basic messages. And we found the basic messages had to do with HR professionals being credible activists. That is, they have to play a role in building their own, in having credibility, having the right relationship with their internal customers. They need to be strategic. Second, they need to be excellent at helping the firm to be to position itself strategically within the context of its business and its business strategy. They have to be able to build capabilities the organization needs to have to be successful, including and maybe especially the corporate culture that's required to succeed. They need to be skilled at being change champions. They need to be able to bring. They also need to bring all of the HR functions together in new, innovative ways to create greater value. And finally, they need to be able to leverage information and technology in a way that will create competitive advantage. Those are the six key components of the current model. And then again, we related each of them to be able to say which of these have a relatively greater impact. First on the careers and professional excellence of individual HR professionals, but then we also ask the question, which of these has the greatest impact on business performance? So that's the basic framework that this research has been done under in 2012.
That's wonderful. And how have you found HR practitioners and leaders responding to the use of your competency model?
We found certainly over the last 20 years, the work we've done has probably framed the HR profession. We need to, as much as probably any other single work that's been done. The reason we need to be careful because nobody, humility is a virtue and arrogance is not such a great virtue. But we like to think that the work we've done has been very helpful in helping to frame how HR professionals can add the greatest value. The reason we're confident in that is every year we've asked a very simple question: What are the practices and competencies within the HR field that aren't done very well, but when they are done well, add the greatest value? So we're trying to identify the practices that add the greatest value that aren't done very well systemically so that we can help the field around the world focus on those issues that aren't done well so we can raise our aspirations and add greater value. Within that perspective, we've been able then predict almost within regular five-year cycles, what are the practices that are not done well, which if we emphasize would help the field add greater value. The field has focused on those. 5 years later, you can see the statistical increase of HR's impact on business performance as the HR professionals have focused around the world on the practices that we think that we've been able to identify through our research. And we think we've done the same thing again in 2012, but the future will have to see if that holds to be true again.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, you know, Wayne, we're going to have to take a quick break here, but I think you've taken us on a bit of an insight here on a more scientific approach to HR, and we'll look forward to digging deeper in the rest of the show. I'm Roy Sonnison, along with my colleague Max Brown, and our guest today, Dr. Wayne Brockbank, and you're listening to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio on the Voice America Business Channel. Please stay tuned for more.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Relationships are the core of great businesses. Your employees are critical to the success of your business. Rideau helps you build positive relationships with your people. Rideau helps you inspire greatness in your people. We do it through the power of recognition and rewards. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. We're committed to our clients and our people. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Sonderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio with Roy Sonderson and myself, Max Brown. And, of course, our guest today, Dr. Wayne Brockbank, the co-author of HR from the Outside In, Six Competencies for the Future of Human Resources. Wayne, did you discover any differences between competencies that impact people versus those that impact business results, or are they different?
We absolutely identified those differences. As you might guess, to see yourselves as popular and capable on the inside by your internal customers may not be the same set of skills, knowledge that are required to impact business performance. We've found, for example, one of the critical capability categories that impacts being seen as competent by your internal customers is what we call personal credibility. That is, have you created a perception on the part of your internal customers, such as that they see you as having the right chemistry with them, that you're responsive, you do what you say you're going to do. It doesn't dictate what you're going to do, but just so that you say you're going to, you do what you say you're going to do. If you communicate clearly, both verbally and in written formats. So we call that personal credibility, your ability to generate personal credibility with your internal customers. By far, nothing else comes close in terms of what's required for you to have credibility, to be seen as being credible by your internal customers. As it turns out, that capability category has a relatively mediocre impact on business performance.
Hmm.
And so we already know that, and you might guess that's the case. You know, winning the political battle on the inside doesn't mean you're going to win the competitive battle on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, what we found out is there are very specific practices that have kind of moderate level impact on career performance, but in fact have relatively low impact. But have a relatively high impact on business performance. Things like sustaining change, aligning strategy, culture, and practices, HR practices that drive behavior, connecting people through information technology are all areas that have kind of middle-level impact on career progression and being seen as competent, but in fact are the big drivers from an HR perspective on business performance. In fact, one of the interesting things we found several years ago, we haven't done this analysis in the last couple of rounds, but we found that the HR professionals who were best at creating an atmosphere of change and sustaining change would have, if everything else held constant, a slight negative impact on the extent to which they were seen as competent on the inside. And the reason, of course, is that if you're competent on the inside, especially in the area of driving change, you may be making some people unhappy because as our colleague Steve Kerr has often said, if you're trying to bring about a fundamental revolution in the culture of your company and everybody's happy, it's not much of a change.
Mm.
So we found that some of those things that make us popular on the inside do not drive business performance on the outside.
Boy, it's interesting, and I think that's an important distinction, isn't it? Because there are a lot of companies out there right now trying to figure out what is the competitive landscape for the next 5 or 6 years. I mean, just the other day, a huge article came out saying that Google might be irrelevant in 5 or 6 years. I mean, what would you be feeling if you were a Google employee right now?
That's exactly right. You wouldn't be feeling a great deal of comfort and confidence that the past is going to be a big predictor of your future, for sure.
And you know, they're not the only ones. You know, that so many companies out there saying, "Gosh, for us to be something to be competitive for the future, it's a different landscape. Things are changing so quickly now, aren't they?"
It certainly is the case. When you think about Microsoft being a safe, secure organization because it was so capable, because it was so competent, because it was excellent at fast change and building an integrated platform that made us all want to buy their products. And now all of a sudden they're facing competition from some of the best companies in the world that they never would have seen even 5 years ago as being competitors. So
yes,
it's a continually changing competitive landscape.
So to do this, my goodness, beyond the fact that we need superhuman strength and perhaps, you know, comic strip superhuman strength, like the powers that we all of us would love to have, but in reality, how do we compare or how do we upgrade our abilities, our skills to keep up in this marketplace?
Well, there's two levels of answers. One, first is how do HR professionals do it, and second, how does everybody else do it?
Mm-hmm.
And those are obviously will be somewhat related. In my experience, the world is changing so quickly that if you're going to be relevant in the future, you have to be able to kind of read the future. You have to be an expert not just on how things are in your industry today, but where things are headed in your industry. And the statistics behind that are that the shelf life of technical knowledge is shrinking drastically. So what you know today is no longer a competitive differentiator. Because if you know it, a whole bunch of other people are going to know it too. So the critical issue is you have a vision of where the future of your industry is headed, and you have the knowledge, skills, and background that will help you to not just add value today, but will enable you to add value into the future. And it's the future that will determine your value, not what you're able to do today. So you need to become an expert on your industry and where the industry's headed. Second, you need to be able to translate that knowledge and understanding into a set of capabilities and experiences that put you at the intersection of knowing things that the marketplace wants, but for which there aren't a lot of people that are capable of doing it. So you want to create a supply for your product in areas where there's high demand so that your personal market value goes up. And the same thing is true for HR professionals as they begin to think about what they're going to do to add the greatest value to the business. Third, then they need to be able to translate that vision into a developmental program so that you make sure you develop the skills and knowledge that's required to play this kind of game that's laid out in the first two steps. And finally, then be able to translate that into classwork, on-the-job developmental experiences that mm-hmm. will take you into the future, enable you to take your career with you.
So I'm an HR leader today, and I'm looking at my skill set, and I'm just thinking from a listener perspective now, if you will, and I'm thinking, okay, so I need to be more of a business partner here. Are you suggesting I take an MBA program, or are you suggesting that there's another way I could do this to remain competitive, but be relevant to the business? Because I really do believe, and there's some companies that are doing this, right? They are using HR business partners as business partners, but there's still a lot of companies that just see HR as a functionality of benefits and enrollment, open enrollment.
Yeah, well, the problem is, I think that's a great insight. The problem is not only do some companies see HR that way, but a lot of HR professionals see that way, see themselves that way. They say they want to be business partners, but they don't understand the customers. They don't understand the competitive markets. They don't understand the competition. They don't understand the capital markets, the international global financial instruments that their senior executives are trying to cope with. So they don't deeply mesh themselves in the business, and they find themselves being on the outside. Mm-hmm. In order to be a business partner in today's environment, you really have to understand the business, not at a superficial level, but you need to understand it at a fairly deep level. And we're seeing the field acclimate in two ways to that. One, especially in Europe, we're seeing a move away from, I need to be careful because I don't mean to offend people, but we're seeing a move away from people with backgrounds in, for example, psychology and sociology dominating HR, to, especially in Europe, you're seeing a noted move towards folks with business backgrounds, degrees in economics and business and finance are increasingly going into HR. They're beginning to dominate the field. One of my favorite stories, I had a colleague call me several years ago and asked if I would write a send a letter recommendation for one of the leading business school, for one of the leading HR programs in the United States. The young man was clearly spectacular. But when I interviewed him over the phone, I said, look, you're a great young man, and you'll be fabulous in the HR field. But I said, but you're still at the beginning of your career, and if you really want to be good in HR, don't get a degree in HR. Go get an MBA. It's not that I'm against degrees in HR. But I am. But at this time, we're just finishing some of this analysis I've been talking about on the program. I said, so go get an MBA. Go get an MBA at the school you're applying to, and work in line management for three or four years, and you'll be fabulous. And his response was, but I don't want to go into business. I want to go into HR. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing to do. That is, HR degrees can be a good thing to do. But the problem is that mindset, that the love affair with HR is sometimes for the HR field instead of the businesses that we're there to serve. And because the love affair is not with the business, we suboptimize our contributions to the business. So because that line of sight to being a business partner really has a high entry price. And the high entry price is understanding the business at really a fundamental level.
You know, and it's funny because I think about the companies where I can go to their websites to see their executives. And if HR is not listed as one of the executives on the team, I just think that's a very interesting tell.
Yeah, and luckily, I think we're seeing that less and less as the pressures for people that are going to sit at the strategy table mandate that they understand more about the business, including at HR. And we're seeing a lot of folks that were trained in the old paradigm of internally focused HR are finding themselves maybe not invited to the table as much because there's scarce room around the table for those that can add fundamental value in creating and sustaining competitive advantages defined by the marketplace.
Now, so let me counter that for a moment. Do you also think, though, that there's space and probably even a bigger requirement, perhaps, for the business leaders who don't know HR to learn more about HR? And what I mean about that is, you know, not the open enrollment part, but the better emotional intelligence, the better ways of connecting with their people, learning how to bring out the best in people, because this is glaringly absent in so many places.
I think you're absolutely correct. They have to first, but the starting point still has to be with a clear understanding of what the customers require.
Mm-hmm.
That's a stake in the sand. You mm-hmm. can do lots of stuff inside, but if you don't create human capability that's directly aligned with what customers require on the outside, then you're going to be on a fool's errand. But once you understand what the customer and the marketplace requires for your organization to be competitive, then the question becomes, how do you make sure you hire people that have passion towards that kind of customer focus as defined, again, by the customer? How do you make sure you hire them? How do you make sure you measure and reward in a way that's consistent with that marketplace set of requirements? How do you make sure you train and develop people that have that line of sight? How do you communicate the importance of it? How do you design jobs? How do you make sure your leaders are leading in ways that will engage people and excite them in ways that will enable them to enable the entire company to mm-hmm. be more able competitors? So all of that still comes back to, there's the line of sight to creating value on the outside, and how do you engage, excite, and motivate, hire, train people that are going to be have that that rabid, passionate focus towards meeting the customer requirements. And companies that create and maintain that line of sight and do so with passion, energy, commitment, empowerment are the ones that who are going to be ahead in the long run.
Well, there's a lot here. There's a lot here. I'm sure our listeners right now are thinking, my goodness, let's go to a break. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation because there's so much more to get into here. For our listeners, you're listening to our guest today, Dr. Wayne Brockbank, talking about global HR competencies. You're listening to Roto's Real Recognition Radio. This is Roy Saunderson and Max Brown reminding you to keep it real. We'll be right back.
The next generation of employees is more sophisticated about recognition. They want to make a difference to their organizations, to their environment, and to their world. Rideau offers a full suite of recognition and reward solutions tailored to meet our clients' needs strategically, technologically, and globally. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about. getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio. I'm Roy Sonneson, along with my friend Max Brown, and our guest today, Dr. Wayne Brockbank, the co-author of Global HR Competencies, Mastering Competitive Value from the Outside In, just recently released. So we're glad to have you on the show, Wayne. I'm curious, a lot of research here. What are the most important findings that you feel you came across from this most current global research?
This last round of research, we've divided into two sections. The first came out in a book about 3 months ago that was HR from the Outside In. The second book just came out last Monday, that is Global HR Competencies, Mastering Competitive Value from the Outside In. The first book focused on an in-depth analysis of the global data. The second is an analysis of how the global data get played out in the 9 major global regions around the world. So we've cut the data and analyzed it both from a global perspective and from a regional perspective around the world. The first set of findings were quite dramatic and to some degree unexpected. In the first thing we found was that the HR departments as a whole, if they're integrated, focused, mutually reinforcing and supporting each other on a few but critical business issues, but where the department as a whole is functioning in an integrated manner to where the staffing, the training development, performance management, measurement, rewards, communications, internal communications, external communications, if all of those things are integrating around a few but critical business issues, that then the HR department as a whole will have about 300% more influence on business performance than if you just have individually competent HR professionals. That was a fairly dramatic finding. So HR departments really have to integrate, pull together, and focus themselves on a few but critical business issues. Mm-hmm. That was the first major finding of this round. The second round was something that was just totally unexpected. The first one we could have kind of guessed, I guess, a little bit. We wouldn't have maybe guessed at the magnitude of that finding. But the second one was really kind of caught us off guard, and that is HR professionals that are involved in architecting the flow of information from the outside in and then disseminating that information around the organization, making sure HR practices are aligned with that information flow. When we found that role of HR professionals as information architects that leverage technology to bring about that vision, that they are that's the thing that HR professionals do almost the worst of anything that we do. And yet, when it is done well, it has more impact on business performance than anything else we do. Now, a lot of HR professionals that might be listening to the show are going to say, wait, that's not what we do. Well, there's a very small number of companies around the world that are doing that, and when they focus on those they add more value than anything else that can happen. Here's our prediction: we have a track record, 25-year track record, of having identified these kinds of scarce but high impact business HR practices that then the field began to resonate with, build on, and now become commonplace and are an essential part of the HR toolkit. This one is in that same category. 5-10 years from now, this will be a commonplace practice, whereas now a lot of HR professionals are going to say, I don't get it. That's not what we're doing. But let me promise that they will be doing it and doing it in fairly short order, because that's what the high-performing HR professionals are involved in. So those are the two biggest findings. That is, the department dynamics are substantially more important than the competency of individual HR professionals. And second, HR's role in helping to architect the flow of information around the firm from information from the outside in, and then disseminating it. Those are the two major practice areas that we found that are very exciting and centrally important, because they're not done well, but when they are done well, they matter a lot.
That's amazing insights, and I like the kind of projection to the future that your research is allowing people. That's great. Now, you and I know that the economies of the world are certainly much more globally connected. We get business like yourselves. We consult, train, and educate around the world. Has there been a similar connecting going on between HR professionals, even though I know your research was certainly regionally based? But are we finding there's a connecting going on a global level?
Well, it depends how you look at it to some degree. Let me give you an example. In the field of accounting, there's clearly an international movement to leverage out commonalities and to force equally applied accounting standards throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And those accounting standards are now being codified in all different attempts to make uniform accounting standards throughout the world. But if you take something like HR, business strategy development, there's no such attempt to try to codify common best practices that can be codified into a checklist of what constitutes effective strategy planning throughout the world. That's because strategy planning, developing your business strategy, is a fundamental source of competitive advantage. It's something you don't want to copy from somebody else. You want to add unique and powerful value because you think about, conceptualize, and implement your business strategy in a way that's better than your competitors.
Right.
HR is trying to figure out which direction it's going to go. In some of the national and international HR associations, they're going the former route. That is, they're trying to find standard, uniform standards that apply equally around the world. But in the process of so doing, obviously, they're not creating competitive advantage because they're trying to standardize it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the high-performing firms, our research is showing that the HR professionals are seeking to create and sustain HR strategies that are so uniquely integrated in with the business that they cannot be easily duplicated and therefore create noticeable competitive advantage. So part of HR, the transactional side of HR, is becoming more uniformly global. The competitive differentiating practices are not becoming uniform around the world.
Wow, that makes sense, too. But I just never heard it said that way, Wayne. So this is very insightful. I hope people wake up to this. That's huge. I don't think we're always looking for best practice standards. We're always looking instead of the next best things and looking for that very customized approach. But I think you've hit the nail on the head with the whole leading towards whatever business they're in. And I'm curious, you talked about earlier when you were talking with Max about putting that stake in the ground about, you know, what is it that the customer requires? What does HR should be doing from your research on that capability building? What does this look like in organizations today if you're really going to align with the business needs?
If HR is going to create again that external focus, it needs to start with an appreciation of two dimensions. We have in the HR field, we say we're the people, the people department.
Yep.
But sometimes we forget that the business side of people consists of two categories of people. People inside the firm called employees and leaders, people outside of the firm called customers. And if we're going to truly take on the role as the people, that is the department that is responsible for people, then our job is to link people outside with people inside.
Mm.
And the key issue is then how do we make that linkage happen in a very powerful, consistent way? And our job is to make that distinction finer and finer so that the integration finally occurs. So first is to understand the importance of that integration. Second, then, is to find out which of the some customers are more important than others. So we need to have a clear understanding of market segments and how to focus our internal capability development agendas around those customer segments that are most critical to our present and future customer success. Then once we understand that, then we need to translate that market understanding into what are the capabilities the organization needs to have, what is the culture the organization needs to have, what the technical skills and capabilities are required in order to meet those external requirements. Then finally, once those things, we understand clearly that alignment, the alignment among those three segments, then the question is how do we make sure all of our HR practices are aligned to create the organization capabilities, the culture we need to have, the technical capabilities and skills that are required to meet the requirements for our customers on the inside, on the outside, that will help them then to enjoy a higher quality of life and be willing to take out their wallets and put money in our wallets instead of our competitors' wallets.
Right, right. So in reality, Wayne, it's coming to my mind, at least as I hear you share all this great research and insights, is the fact that it's only by the way HR looks from the outside in this case, that they really do become partners.
I think that's right. That's what the partnership's about. When they're sitting around the table saying, the senior leadership team is sitting around the strategy table, and they're asking the question, what do we need to do to make our customers happy? They're talking about those people out there to decide to keep us in business or keep our competitors in business. And if HR is going to play a true partnership role at the table, they need to be asking the same question, which is how can my function help get the customers to take out money out of their wallets and put it in our wallets so that we can maintain the employment of our people and by making our customers happier with us and with our competitors. You are absolutely right in that position you took.
Well, it's very exciting to see this all come together. I tell you, I wish you had been a professor at my classes, I tell you, at university. You're making this sound not only very interesting, but I think it's very relevant to what we're heading into.
The problem would have been then you would have become HR professors instead of excellent radio announcers.
Well, we have gained those capabilities along the way by focusing on the outside in, I would say, Wayne.
That's good stuff.
It's called,
well, listen, Wayne,
I hate to say this,
but we're going to take another quick break right here. But for all of our guests, our listeners today, please tune in. Come right back for this final segment with our guest today, Dr. Wayne Brockbank. For Rideau's Real Recognition Radio, I'm Roy Saunderson along with Max Brown. And stay right back. Come right back.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Relationships are the core of great businesses. Your employees are critical to the success of your business. Rideau helps you build positive relationships with your people. Rideau helps you inspire greatness in your people. We do it through the power of recognition and rewards. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. We're committed to our clients and our people. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio. Let's continue the conversation with Dr. Wayne Brockbank and get a final, at least a few pointers here before we have to close this segment in this show today. But Wayne, thank you first off on being with us. This has been a fun conversation.
Well, thank you for having me. It has been fun. I enjoyed your questions quite a lot.
Well, we're grateful that you would be able to join us with that. And I really am intrigued now. Where do you see this all going? And what gives you hope for the future of HR?
I am extremely positive about the future of the HR profession. And that's just not a blind statement of faith, but we have that faith is based upon evidences of what has preceded us over the 25 years of this research. That is, we've been able to, again, identify things that add the greatest value that aren't being done very much. And as companies have started to act on those insights, they've found themselves adding greater values. We've gone from business acumen to change management to culture, to business, building powerful corporate cultures, to building organization capability, and now we're into this world of the new information age. I believe that, so I'm very positive about the future of the HR profession based upon that trajectory history. I believe the next few years will show a decided focus on four major agendas. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each one, but I'll just list them quickly. One is I think HR professionals will have to be more expert at managing the flow of information. We live in an information age that we could have never foreseen. I heard a statistic from Cisco recently that said that in the last 2 years, more human knowledge has been generated than all time that preceded 2 years ago. And by the time we hit the year 2020, every 48 hours, the volume of information that's generated will precede all the information that will have been generated in the previous history before 2020. So we're going to live in an age where being able to understand, identify, import, leverage, combine, and utilize information is going to be an absolutely source of competitive advantage. And obviously the human implications for that agenda are monumental, and the firms that are able to grapple with that environment will be ahead. Second is obviously we'll have to be more global in everything that we do. I spend a lot of time with one of the leading investment houses in the Middle East right now, and in that organization of about 1,200 employees, 52 different nationalities are represented. So we just are going to live in a world like that. The third is that HR professionals are going to have to live with unanticipated consequences. We can't excuse ourselves by saying, oops, we didn't realize by paying people this way, by giving this kind of incentive, by creating these kinds of cultures of greed and unbridled greed that we can just say, oops, we didn't realize the implications of what would happen if we gave people incentives. And you've heard the Enron stories, the Lehman Brothers stories, the 2008 stories, where kind of greed started to dominate the business logic. And we're going to start being held accountable for unanticipated consequences, what we do. And finally, we're going to have to be more accountable, thinking in terms of broader definitions of what constitutes a healthy organization. And I think HR professionals are going to have to feel responsibility for thinking through the broad landscape of everything that goes on the inside, risk management, structure, processes, flow of information, all these things that are going to create competitive advantage in the future. So I think this describes, these four elements describe both where the future of the field is going and also the future of where our research is going to go in the next 5 years.
Boy, it's pretty incredible, isn't it? I mean, it's no longer enough to be a specialist. We really have to know so much more and broaden your perspective in so many ways.
Yeah, the bar is being raised much more quickly than we could have ever anticipated. And I just hope and pray that my HR colleagues around the world will be as excited about the opportunities that the world is opening up to us, that it means we've got to think and behave in fundamentally different ways than we have in the past. And then the world will become exciting, and it'll be challenging, but it'll be an exciting and invigorating place to earn a living and to add value to others.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing with us today. We're grateful you were on the show.
Thank you also. It's been a pleasure to be with you. I wish you all the best.
We are delighted. And for those who would like to know more about how to get a hold of the book or more information about what you do, where could we send them?
Yeah, we have let me give you the URL for our website. It's called globalhrcompetencies.com.
Mm-hmm.
GlobalHRCompetencies.com. That's where you can learn more about both the two books that we've written this year, and can enable you to order one or both of them. The second is if any of your listeners have specific questions they'd like to ask, I'd be glad to respond to any of those. And my email address is wbrock@umich.edu, and we'd be glad to hear from. I'm pretty good at answering emails, and be glad to hear from any of your listeners that might have any questions.
Well, terrific. We again are so happy you could join us on the show today. It's been a fun show, and I'm sure some listeners are going to be reaching out to say, okay, so what about XYZ? So get ready.
Okay, glad to do it. Glad to do it.
Roy and I, of course, welcome and encourage all kinds of comments and suggestions. We're always grateful for listener feedback as well. And you can always go to rideau.com, that's rideau.com/radio, and give us your feedback to tell us why you listen to the show. In doing so, we'll send you a small token of our appreciation as well. We love your feedback. We do appreciate it. If you'd like to check out so many of the great guests and shows we've had as we have today, you can certainly check it out at Rideau's Real Recognition Radio Library, also at rideau.com. Thank you for listening to the show every week. We are so grateful. Until next time, this is Max Brown and Roy Saunderson reminding you to keep it real. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Thank you again for tuning in Real Recognition Radio. Please join Roy Saunderson and Max Brown again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel for more motivational tips to help your employees perform better. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.